Welcome, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Great. Welcome to Tech Ed. I'm Adam Skugar, and this is Jane Yen. We're program managers in Windows Server, and it's really our privilege to be here today to talk to you about work folders. We've been working on it for the past year, and it's a really exciting time for us to come and share it with you. By a show of hands, can you just raise your hand if you went to Nir and Fabian's session yesterday and heard them talk about work folders. Okay, a few people, certainly less than a third of the audience. So what I'm going to do is start with all of the foundation material. I'm going to go through it relatively quickly for the benefit of those who saw it yesterday. But I will get everybody caught up to the same place. And then I'll leave enough time for us to go into more detail into some of the more advanced areas. And if you went to Nir and Fabian's session, you heard Nir say that for those who attended both sessions, we've got some Xbox Live Gold memberships that I'll give away. I have two of them with me. Actually, I'm going to give you an IOU. I'm going to give you a business card. I'm going to mail it to you. For the first person who can identify for the second and third demos, what's different than what Fabian demoed yesterday. So watch those demos carefully. If I forget to ask, just raise your hand, tell me what you saw that was different than yesterday's. First person for each gets an Xbox Live Gold membership. Let's start just by talking about the file server. And maybe again a show of hands. How many people in the room are responsible for file servers in their environment? Okay, you're in the right session, excellent. So the file server's been around for decades. It's in fact the original server workload. And it's grown exponentially. At this point, we're seeing exabytes of data deployed every year just to support information workers on file servers. And the file server was first created around the principles of being incredibly simple and efficient to manage. It's grown to scale and to achieve breakthrough performance. And around the file server, a rich ecosystem of tools and utilities has evolved to help you manage the data that sits on those file servers. But it's now 2013. Expectations have changed. And this guy is your worst nightmare. He'll go to extremes to get access to the data that he needs to get his job done from the devices that he wants to use. He also happens to be the CEO. Would you like to tell him that he's violating corporate data policies? Do you think he'll listen to you? Or is he just going to do what he needs to do to get his job done? You have three choices. You can ignore it. Pretend it's not happening. You can forbid it. Write down a policy. Watch him work around you. Or you can embrace it and help your users be productive on their devices. We're introducing work folders to allow information workers to access their individual data. Their individual data, I want to be clear, distinct from a department or team share. In this release, we're really focused on just their individual user data. Think of their home directory. We allow that data to be worked on in the individual devices. The user is not thinking about anything but their local files. But we are asynchronously syncing the data to the file server so that we can centralize it. And centralizing that data on a file server is important to you. It's important to you because it allows you to protect that data, be able to restore it if necessary, be able to encrypt it if appropriate, and probably most importantly, make sure you have a copy of it. So if that employee leaves the organization, the only copy of the data doesn't go with them. Our vision is to enable this from all of the user's devices. Our priority with the release of Windows 8.1 is to make sure that Windows 8.1 has a great inbox experience for file sync without you having to install anything. shortly after general availability of Windows 8.1. We will enable access from Windows 7 devices via a download, because we know that Windows 7 is probably what you have mostly deployed in your organization. And also shortly after general availability, we will offer an application for iPads, because we know that's what you're being asked to support. Other devices, form factors like phones, operating systems like Android, all within our vision, but after we address those first three priorities I described, Windows 8.1, Windows 7, and iPads. Access from anywhere with work folders really means access from anywhere without the user having to do anything additional. No VPN required, like was required with offline files. What we're doing for you and for the user is making it easy to comply with any data governance policies that you have in your organization while just working with local files on their device. And you might be wondering, doesn't Microsoft have a few file sync solutions? We certainly do. We will continue to offer SkyDrive, very focused on the consumer scenarios and available only via the Microsoft public cloud. We also recently introduced SkyDrive Pro. SkyDrive Pro is specifically designed to work with SharePoint, wherever SharePoint is deployed, including in Office 365. If you're looking to provide rich collaboration in a SharePoint environment, SkyDrive Pro is all you need to know for file sync. But we know that there are many organizations that have made a decision to continue using file servers for information worker file access. For those very reasons that we started file servers, simplicity, cost efficiency, performance, scalability. And for those environments, we want to make sure that you have equivalent functionality to do file sync to devices for that data that you chose to keep on file servers. I want to turn it over to Jane now to show you how a WorkFolders client is deployed.
Thank you, Adam. Good afternoon. I'm Jane. Imagine that I work at the finance department at Contoso. This is my office PC. It has WorkFolders deployed through group policy. I've been using it to save all my work-related documents to the WorkFolders. I got an email today from an admin saying that he made work folders available on personal devices. Sweet. Let's take a look at the instructions. And here I brought my Surface device. Let's go to the control panel, find the work folders under the system and security, providing my email address. This email will be used to construct a URL, talk to the server, establish a sync partnership. This process is called discovery, which Adam will cover later in detail. I've been prompted for credentials, for my domain credentials, because this is a non-domain joined device. Now I get to choose locally where do I want to put my work document on this device. I'll leave it for the default for now. Unless I need to consent to the device policies which my admin can potentially set on the server, which will be enforced on this device, such as password required when unlocking a device. I'll leave this part of the detail to the next demo when we look at the server side of the configuration. That's it. Work folder is set up on this device. All the documents that I had on my office PC now sync down to this device with three simple clicks. Let's try to create a document here on this device. It's my first time here in Madrid, so I did my homework. found two recommendations on the restaurant I'd like to share with you. Do you have any recommendations that you want to share?
How about Burger King? I see them all over Spain.
Okay. Very American. And I'll save it to my work documents, the work folders I just set up. So behind the scene, this document on the surface gets synced up to the server, and then from server, it gets synced to all the devices that I registered with Sync Partnership to that location. Take an example like my office PC. Now you can see this document gets traveled to the work PC. Now I can work from anywhere.
That's great, Jane. But what about legacy devices that don't have a work folders client?
As an admin, you can enable SMB share to the same location where the sync share has been created. So in other words, the data is stored locally on the file server, and you can enable access through either SMB or sync, and both. So imagine this is my legacy PC. I have created the sync SMB share on the server. Now I can just access the same data through SMB as I would always been able to.
Great. Thanks, Jane. So Jane showed you a simple client deployment. Really easy. In this example, provided really nothing but an email address. But what do we fundamentally need to get to the device in order for the device to connect to the work folder server? It's internet accessible. Anybody have a guess what you might need? Skipping ahead to ADFS, we'll come to that. Much simpler. You need a URL. All you need on the client is a URL to the work folder server. So the question is, how do we get the URL onto the client? Jane showed you an approach to manual configuration. And what we mean by manual is the end user is going through all of the steps required to set up work folders. From the email address, we constructed a URL automatically behind the scenes. We just do that automatically to a well-known URL called workfolders.the domain that the person entered as their email address. Has nothing to do with Exchange, has nothing to do with their email account. We just ask for an email address because the user knows it. There's another option we didn't show you, which is you can provide an explicit URL to the end user. And if you wanted to, you could provide different URLs to different groups of users. And they can enter the URL instead of their email address. We have a second type of configuration that we call opt-in. And we think opt-in is probably the default that most people will use. If you're familiar with offline files and folder redirection, you know that you go into a lab, you log into a server, or you log into someone else's machine. Folder redirection policies apply to that machine, and you automatically get a cache of your server documents on that device. We got a lot of feedback that people did not like that. So we designed opt-in to let you push all of the configuration settings to the device using a configuration management utility, System Center, Intune, whatever you might be using. And then all the user has to do is say, I want work folders on this device. And all the settings are already there for them. We think that's probably the mode most people want to operate in and let the user decide which devices have work folders. We also offer a mandatory approach. And through group policy, you can enable this just like you do today with offline folders and folder redirection. And not only are the configuration settings pushed to the device, but work folders is turned on. Okay, so we've talked about client so far. Let's back up and look at the overall system view and what pieces exist in work folders deployment. First, we have a file and storage services subrole. So any server SKU that has the file services role has work folders available to be turned on. It's an additional access protocol. Just like we've had SMB and NFS, we've now added a sync protocol. It's just another way for a user to get to their documents on a file server. And when you enable this access protocol by enabling the subrole, Server Manager provides a consolidated view of all of your sync activity. Each work folder server has one or more sync shares. And each sync share maps to a physical location on that file server where work folders will be stored. As Jane pointed out, it can be the same location as an SMB or NFS share points to, or a unique location. You associate users and groups with that sync share to give them permission to come in and sync, just like an SMB share has permissions that people can access. And then NTFS permissions take over to provide more granular control within the share, all very similar to the existing model. What's unique about sync shares is that you're going to set policies for sync on each individual sync share. So if your finance department and your sales department have different data management requirements, then you're going to want to create two sync shares, one for finance and one for sales. We recommend that you create the minimum number of sync shares on a server that you need to differentiate policy according to your organization's rules. Furthermore, we recommend that you have dedicated groups that you use for nothing but work folders to manage who has access to each share. And as we've talked about this in Tech Ed North America, and again here, a question we have frequently gotten is what happens if a user is a member of multiple groups that each have permissions to different sync shares? We don't recommend that, but we will handle it if it happens. And the first sync share that we pick for that user is the sync share that user will continue to use across all of their devices to make sure that their files stay in sync, until such time as they lose permissions to that particular sync share. And we'll come back to that point a little later when we talk about things like migrations. Finally, all of your devices stay in sync. Changes are detected locally on a client in real time, and those changes sync to the server. From the server, they sync to other devices, always in that hub and spoke architecture. Never from device directly to another device. If a change is made on the server, through whatever mechanism, that change will sync down to all of the devices. This is an overview diagram of a typical single server deployment. Work folders is enabled on this file server. The file server can be deployed standalone or as an active passive failover cluster. We do require that the server is domain joined. But on the clients, of course, we don't require domain join, as Jane showed you when creating a sync partnership on her non-domain join surface. The whole point of this is to help you embrace the consumerization that's happening, where people are bringing their own devices, and of course, their personal devices are not going to be domain joined. Once work folders is configured on a client, the client establishes a sync connection over a secure SSL connection. The external clients come through the reverse proxy, or you can even just use firewall rules to achieve this. Internal clients can connect directly to the work folder server, or they can be redirected to the proxy if you choose. We rely on Active Directory for Windows authentication, Kerberos for those internal devices, Digest for devices coming through the proxy. And we can optionally support Active Directory Federation Services, or ADFS, for authentication. And the reasons you would want to support ADFS, or enable ADFS authentication, is to support multi-forest deployments through a proxy, to enable multi-factor authentication, which ADFS lets you enforce in order to access the work folder server, and optionally to limit sync just to ADFS registered devices, to give you some control over which devices you have some limited management capability over that you want to allow into the sync environment. The other device management policies that we allow you to enforce at the work folder server are encrypting the work folder's container so that all the documents on the device, while they reside on that device, stay encrypted. And then you can selectively wipe the encryption keys, destroying access to the documents on that device, all the enterprise data, without affecting any of the personal data on that user's device. You can do so through Intune or through a third-party mobile device manager. We also allow you to simply require a password and a device lock after a period of inactivity. Because this is a file server that we've added work folders to, all of the capabilities that you've come to appreciate in a file server, like restricting to a quota of usage for a user, or screening out certain file types that you don't want syncing to your server, generating advanced reports, and perhaps most interestingly, using our file classification infrastructure that has been in the server for a couple of releases to automatically classify documents based on the sensitivity of the information stored in the document. And that assigns a tag to the document. And then based on that classification tag, you can optionally use the rights management service, whether you have it deployed on-prem or you want to take advantage of the new online RMS, to encrypt highly sensitive documents. And that type of encryption goes with the document, wherever the document goes, to ensure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands. All of these capabilities of the file server simply work with work folders. And now I'm going to have Jane take us through enabling work folders on a server.
In the first demo, we look at the client experience. In this one, let's take a look on the server side. This is Server Manager. Work folders is a sub-role of file server, like Adam has mentioned. Let's check it out. Where is that? Start with Add Role Wizard. Come to the Server Role page. Expand the file and storage services. You can enable it right here under the File and iSCSI services. As you can see, it's enabled on the server. Once you have that role enabled, the Work Folder Manage page is built in as part of the Server Manager. On this page, you can see I already have a sync share created for the finance department where Jane was able to sync in the first demo. In fact, Jane loved it. She told her friend Sally all about it, saying how flexibility Work Folder has been able to provide her. So now Sally wants for the work folders for the sales team. And let's create one for the sales team. Start with the new sync share wizard. Let's provide a local path where the user data will be stored on. Create that folder. This page asks you an option to specify what the user folder format looks like. By default, it uses the user alias. Look like this. Every user comes in, created their own folder with their alias. This is the same as how folder redirection does and how home folder does. So if you want to integrate with that, those technologies, you would want to use the user alias only. Another option here, you can also include the domain information in that user folder. It looks like this. So if you have multiple domains and want to have users across multiple domains sync to the same share, you would want to include the domain information. The checkbox here asks you whether you want to sync a subfolder within that user folder. Because by default, all the folders under the sync user folder will be synced to all the devices. So for example, I have this user by default had document, pictures, videos, and music. But in the sync, I only want to enable documents, for example, and you would put the document in this checkbox here. So for this in share, let me just use the default one. Give the name. Who do we want to give access to? Since we're creating this thing share for the sales team, I already created a security group where all the members part of the sales team are in that security group. By default, the administrator cannot see the data under the user folder. And that's what the checkbox is for. If you want the otherwise, you can uncheck this. And admin will be able to access all the user data. This is the device policy in the first demo the user has to consent to. By encryption, means that all the data under the work folder will be encrypted on that device. And the password policy enforces three things. One, the device must have a password when user unlock that device. And the password minimum length is 6. Second, the device must have auto lock on that device, so it cannot be left around unlocked all the time. And the third is when user trying to attempt the password, they have 10 times to give that try. So let's enable both for now. And create. That's it. ThinkShare for the sales team has been created. Now you can send the email to the team, inform them.
Jane, I've heard we've had some problems with Sally's sales team and sharing of a lot of cat videos and other things that cluttered up the file server and caused Sally's department to get overcharged for file server storage. How are we going to help her?
There are existing file server technologies like File Server Resource Manager that you can provide the quota and put on the file screen lock on the share. So we have a choice. What do you want to do?
Let's do quotas and let them each manage their own space.
Sounds good. This is the File Server Resource Manager. It has been released for a few releases in Windows. So let's create a new quota for that share. This is the pass that we just created for the sales team. I want to do auto quota because I want to enforce the user folders, get the restricted storage size. 20 gig?
20 gig sounds great.
All right. So now all the user folder on this share will be limited with 20 gig of storage size.
Awesome. Thank you, Jane. No applause for our wonderful demo that time? Thank you. Let's take a little look behind the scenes at how a file actually stays in sync. The first step, as we've talked about, is establishing a work folder's sync partnership from the device to the server. When you do that, a data directory is provisioned on the device in the location that you specify or the default location where the work folder's files are stored. We also create a hidden version database. We use that database to track the version of all the files on that device and help us keep in sync with the other devices. Additionally, we create a hidden download staging directory, which we use to receive a file from the server so that we can very quickly and atomically apply the file to the local file system in the data directory after the data is transmitted across the wire. On the server side, when that user first syncs, we create a set of corresponding infrastructure. There's a data directory for the user, as you saw. In this case, we don't create a new database, because we have a shared database across the sync share for all users using that sync share. We create a set of tables for the individual user. And we do create an upload staging directory, which is the direct corollary to the download staging directory that we saw on the client. The server-side infrastructure is only provisioned a single time for the user, The client-side infrastructure, of course, is provisioned each time you set up a new client. We detect a local change on the client in real time using a new capability delivered in Windows 8.1 that monitors our portion of the namespace and notifies us of these changes. We then initiate a sync session from the client up to the server. And we upload the file to the server staging directory. Once the file completes the upload, it's the server's responsibility to apply that change to the data directory on the server. By default, we have the server configured with all the appropriate permissions to make sure that the server can do this on behalf of the user. If someone had changed the permissions, we could have a failure applying the change. We would raise that error for the user on their devices to let them know that something is not synchronizing. The other thing the change applier needs to handle is the possibility of a file conflict. If a file is changed simultaneously on multiple devices, or in a device and a server, and by simultaneously I mean within the duration of a single sync session, between sync sessions, the applier is responsible for handling the conflict. With offline files, we raise the dialogue for the end user. And we said, you decide what to do. Keep one, keep both. Which one do you want to keep? And we didn't provide a lot of useful information. We got a lot of negative feedback that was really difficult for end users to deal with. So we took that feature away. We take a much simpler approach to conflict resolution. We take the approach SkyDrive and most other file sync solutions take, which is to silently determine the winner based on the timestamp. The latest version is the winner and keeps the original file name. And the older version becomes a conflict. The conflict file is saved in the same directory using the original file name with the device name where the conflict occurred appended. In this case, it would be the client device name, even though the server is applying the change because that's where the conflict came from. And if we append a number if necessary, if we have multiple conflicts on the same file, we'll save up to 100 conflict versions, at which point we'll say, something's gone wrong. Why are we getting so many conflicts for one file? And we will stop syncing that particular file, and again, raise an error for the user on their client device, letting them know that that file is no longer syncing. A user can resolve conflicts at any time. Just looking in the directory, they'll see the original file and the conflict file name or names. They can open the files, delete the ones they don't need, merge content as appropriate. We leave that up to the user to do, independent of the synchronization process. Sync is then initiated by a second client. This can happen in one of two ways. The first is that client also has a local change it detected and it initiated a sync session. Alternatively, if it had no changes, there's a polling interval. Its default is 10 minutes. When the polling interval expires, the client will check in. And in this case, it will see that the server has a change document for it. The client will naturally download that document into its staging directory and then go through a change application process, just like the server went through, and also have to deal with conflict resolution if a conflict is created. So a file stays in sync. And there's three things I want you to take away that are really important to remember about sync. One is that in this release, we limit sync to one partnership per user per device. So with a Windows device where I can log in as multiple users, they can have their own independent partnerships with a server. They can even be different servers. But an individual user on the device cannot then set up a second partnership for some other location on a file server. We know you'd like to do that. We've heard that pretty clearly in other talks about this. So it's something we're certainly considering very seriously for the next release. The other thing to keep in mind is that the client always drives sync. The server is passive in this process. It responds to sync requests. And the third thing to keep in mind is that the change applier is responsible for conflict resolution and handles it in that silent process that I described, where it just creates the conflict file in the same directory. You might be thinking that this sync protocol we keep referring to that we enable with work folders is nothing but SMB encapsulated in HTTP. That would be a wrong assumption. We designed a brand new sync protocol to be incredibly efficient at sync, to allow us to do the things we want to do today and in the future for file server synchronization, and critically, to be efficient over a variety of network performance characteristics. This new protocol will connect only over port 443 by default. It will insist on seeing a signed SSL certificate on the server. We do this to ensure that the user is connecting to a trusted server, not a server impersonating them that would like a copy of their documents. And we also, of course, use that SSL cert for encrypting the transport. If you'd like, you can terminate SSL at the edge. We talked earlier about your external clients coming through a proxy, and you can optionally have DNS also direct internal clients to your proxy. And you could choose to terminate SSL for all clients there if you want to do deep packet inspection. This does require the signed cert to be imported to the proxy server as well. You can use self-signed certs, and you might want to do that in your evaluation of work folders. But it's then your responsibility to make sure that self-signed cert is on all of the devices that you want to test. And there is one final trick. In your testing, if you want to allow HTTP connections, just to simplify the evaluation, there's a registry change you can make as an admin to enable HTTP. But please don't leave it set that way when you're putting sensitive data in work folders. It's not just about not having an encrypted connection. It's about the possibility of somebody impersonating your work folder server. So I've talked about the fact that there's a data set, the files that the user is syncing, as well as a database where we track the versions. And if you're familiar with Active Directory or Exchange or really anything else that has a database dependency, you know that there's a little bit of a challenge when it comes to backup and restore. It's actually two challenges. First is making sure that your data set and database are consistent with each other. And the second, and the more difficult one, is making sure a database never goes back in time. We have sync problems if a database goes back in time, so we need to avoid that. So let me show you how. The simplest kind of backup and restore is a selective file restore. You can do this on a client or on a server. You pick an individual file, just like you backup today, just like you restore just the file or files you want. Work folders will see those incoming files, whether on the client or the server, as the latest version. We don't care what the timestamp is. We see the write. We see the change. We know you want that older file back. And we simply sync that file to all the other devices. Nothing complicated about that. Gets a little trickier with client recovery. If you do full system client recovery in your environment, we've done the things we need to do to exclude our database from backups on the client, and a well-behaved backup application should obey that. It's the do not backup reg key. But I advise you to test if you do full client recovery. And we'll provide documentation on how to test and make sure that on restore, the database is not coming back. We're also doing some additional work to see if we can have a method of making sure that we would determine if that did happen and we could delete the database. What the client then does in these cases is what we call database reconstitution. It uses the files that were restored. I did a full system recovery to, let's say, a week ago. Whatever files were there are there. I have no database. The work folders client on first sync will use the server's database and the local data set, reconcile them, not creating conflicts if the files are actually identical, and recreate the local database. And then sync will continue normally. On the server side, we don't want you to have to do database reconstitution. It would be an expensive process. And we need to give you a way for disaster recovery purposes to bring a whole server back to a previous point in time. So we have a VSS writer on the server, and our VSS writer is responsible for quiescing the database, making sure we have a consistent state between the work folder's data and the database. It then allows everything to be backed up. And on restore, our VSS writer is called again, and our VSS writer will modify the database to make sure that it doesn't look like a database that went back in time, but rather looks like a new database that simply doesn't have the latest updates from all the clients. So it has all the information, but it's stale. And then as clients start to sync, clients will update the server with what they have from the past week that old server backup didn't. It'll add files, it'll delete files that were deleted on the client, it'll modify files, and everything just simply rolls forward in time as the devices start syncing. And that's how you do disaster recovery for work folders. We have a question. Would we also still support previous versions? If you're doing previous versions and using a server, yeah, we'll still support that. The client does have to use an SMB connection to get to those files on the server. And through that SMB connection, they will see the previous versions and can do a self-restore. Yeah, so you're asking for recovery. Can you use previous versions? I'm not 100% sure. You're saying previous versions for the entire server? Yeah, I'm not sure if the VSS writer gets invoked in those cases. If the answer is no, and the database still exists, we're going to see each of those previous versions coming in as the latest change to the file. And that's okay. But what we don't want to see is files come back and an old database come back without our VSS writer being in the equation. And we've got some more people in the room from the file server group. So if you want more clarification on that, just hang around at the end of the session. I see a bunch of my colleagues in the room, and we'll make sure to give you a perfect answer to that. Any other questions? Go ahead. For SSL termination, can you do SSL bridging? I don't see any reason you couldn't. So you're terminating the SSL connection at the proxy, and then you have a new SSL connection from the proxy to the work folder server. I don't see any reason that wouldn't work. Another question? So the question is, can you use an existing server, let's say it's a 2008 server, that's your file server, and deploy a new 2012 R2 work folder server and have them work together? That's a scenario we want to support. We don't in this release, where the storage for the work folder server is a remote file share. We absolutely want to do that. We've heard loud and clear that's something a lot of people would like to do. It's not in this release, unfortunately. Whatever storage you use in this release to the server has to look like local disks. No DFS was the question? Yeah, same thing. So using DFS from the work folder server to get to the actual files would be using SMB. So we don't support that in this release. Another question? Yeah, so the question is about if you have multiple sync shares, you might have them on the same server, you might have them across different servers. How do you get people to the right one? We're going to cover that. I'll come back to that. Another one. So the question is, what's behind the database? It's a standard JET database on Windows Server and Windows Client. So nothing you need to do, nothing you need to manage. Okay, I'll take these two, and then we'll carry on, and again, we'll have room for questions at the end. On the roadmap, will we support Windows file servers? Other file servers. So part of supporting a remote file share for the storage would be that you could use any file server behind the work folder server. The question is, and when? I don't know. it is something we will take very seriously for the next release, but we're not committing to it today. I'll take one more and then we'll continue. I think the question is the file server supported on a cluster? Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. We've talked about security quite a bit. Jane and I have each mentioned it in various places. I want to bring it all together in one place so that you can see the focus we placed on making sure that as you enable personal devices in the enterprise, you really have a way to secure data from an end-to-end perspective. The first place is just the permission to sync to that share with the appropriate policies defined on that share. The second is NTFS permissions as they always function. We encrypt all of the communications using SSL. And as we talked about, you can optionally encrypt the work folder's container so that the data that's on the device remains encrypted. And then you can selectively wipe just the enterprise data and not the personal data from that device. You can enforce simple policies like password protection and device lock. And if you're using ADFS for authentication, you can limit sync to registered devices. And there's a really interesting side effect of doing that. When you register a device using ADFS, you can require multi-factor authentication. It's just an ADFS capability, nothing to do with us. But what ADFS does is installs a trusted certificate on that device. And then you can have work folders set up without requiring multi-factor authentication, but we consult that certificate based on the fact that you've limited to registered devices, and we inherit the fact that multi-factor auth was used in the first place. So multi-factor auth without the user having to go through it a second time. Now, of course, if you want to use ADFS with or without limiting to registered devices, you could choose to enable multi-factor auth for work folders authentication or not. You still can use that independently. We just think the seamless multi-factor auth is a great way to do it. One of the hardest problems to solve from a file security perspective is how do you make sure that a sensitive document doesn't get emailed or put on a USB key and given to someone who shouldn't have permissions to it? And to solve that problem, we have the file classification infrastructure in Windows Server today that you can use to flag those files, and then you can optionally use RMS to encrypt the sensitive documents based on the file classification tags. And then those documents, no matter where they go, retain their encryption bubble and require an authentication to an RMS server or service to get access to the document. Finally, as you let personal devices into the enterprise, you have much less assurance that those devices are protected the way you'd want to protect them. So we use the server as an anti-malware gateway with whatever systems you're using for anti-malware to prevent infected files from getting from personal devices to any other device, or the server for that matter. I'm going to turn it back to Jane to show you some of the ways that we leverage the file server functionality to protect data. And since I forgot to check who noticed the difference in the previous demo, try to remember to do it this time so I can give away one of those Xbox Live memberships. And I'll also give away one for another good question that we pick. And is a question before the demo? About the difference in the last one? Go for it. Quotas. Quotas was the difference. Come see me after the session, and I owe you an Xbox Live Gold membership. Thank you. Jane?
All right. So back at Contoso, now your CIO coach you. He likes the work folders, providing the flexibility to the workplace. He's also concerned, like Adam has mentioned, work folders enable personal device storing corporate data. So he's asking, what's your strategy to protecting those sensitive data? And I'd like to show you how that goes with how it goes with the server classification and RMS. On Jane's Surface device, She's under the pressure now to finish the end of the fiscal annual report. And I just want to save it under the work folders. If it lets me. So she just uses the device as she has always been able to. Open up the document, write the document, save it to the work folders. Behind the scenes, the documents get synced up to the server. And on the server, that's where the magic can happen. And it's the power of you as an admin. So I have created, this is a file server resource manager. And I'm going to show you how the classification and you can run the file management task with RMS encryption. So on the server, I have the I created a classification property called confidential. And the rule to make that file to be a confidential is to search, scan through the document and see if there is any words contains like confidential in it. You can also have the flexibility to create a pattern such that you can match, for example, credit card strings, such as here. In this one, I have the confidential strings that as a flag for this is a confidential document, but you can also have the other ways to do as searching for other information patterns. And then you can create the file management task, which will put RMS encryption on it if the document is flagged as confidential. The condition here is if the property has the confidential tag set to true, and the action is to protect with RMS encryption. Going back to Jane's Surface device, the annual report that we created, Jane has nothing, knows nothing about this. She just wants to come back to work on this document. And now she's getting prompt because this is a non-domain join device. And as you can see, this document now protected with RMS. And it will go with the document no matter where it travels. All right.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
You have a question? Yes. Can you put an access rule on a device claim?
Can you put in your access rule a device claim? So only trusted devices can access the file. Is it going to be synchronized?
I can answer that question in a different way. If you deploy ADFS, for example, you can limit the devices which can access the sync share. So if the device is registered, you will get a certificate on that device, and that device becomes trusted. And then those devices can allow to access the sync share. So in other words, they can they cannot establish the sync partnership if that device is not registered, for example.
So I think by implication, what Jane is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, and Nir tends to bail us out in these kinds of conversations because he's an expert in this area, if he's in the audience, I think the implication is that we don't support device claim properties as part of whether or not work folders has access to the document.
It's a good suggestion, though.
Yeah, it's a great suggestion. Take one more. Does it mean we don't support dynamic access control? Nir is our dynamic access control expert, so instead of me fumbling through it, Nir is going to help answer the question. And I'm going to give him a mic.
We fully support dynamic access control on the NTFS permissions. The thing is that with work folders, since it's your own data, usually the permissions would be that you have access to it. So you would get access by that intent. But if, for example, you have a central access policy that's applied, that says, you know, no one should get access to the file, you're not going to be able to sync it once it's up on the server. So it will, you know, deny the devices from getting that file. So, if, so for example, you uploaded something very sensitive and immediately lost access, you would not get it in all other devices.
Do you want to add anything about device claims?
So same answer. We don't device claims again. If you use device claims in the central access policy to access the data, once you uploaded it and you need the device claim to download it, you're going to get denied. We don't do a criteria of whether you can sync or not based on the device claim. But if you don't have access to the file, you're not going to get the file. Simple as that.
Thank you, Nir. And I'm going to get in the habit of bringing an extra mic for you. I think they're great questions. Any questions that I have to call on my boss to answer is a good question. It was, but I think we still have the opportunity for someone to tell us what was different in the demo. So we'll go to that first. Did we do that? Did we do the additional demo?
No, we didn't.
Okay, so we still have to get to it. I just forgot where I was. So we'll start with that, and if someone does know the difference in the next demo, we'll start there for the Xbox Live Gold. But good try. Valiant effort. So far we've talked just about single server deployments. And there was actually a question up here earlier about what do we do when there are multiple sync shares and how do we get people to the right sync share on a server or even to different servers. So there's many reasons you might have multiple servers in your environment. The first is simply to scale out for capacity. Is the volume still okay? It sounds a little off to me. Not great. I got some definites from the front. Go ahead. I'm not going to hear you from back there. You're going to have to come closer.
Jim, you're talking about client certificates.
Yes.
Windows Phone 8 does not support client certificates.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So
there's a question about Windows Phone 8.1 and client certificates. I don't know the answer. And work folders in this release does not work on Windows Phone in any case. So you'll have to wait until we provide support for Windows Phone, and we'll deal with that issue. So reasons for multiple servers in your environment. The first is simply to scale out for capacity. You might have 10,000 users in your environment. And maybe they're syncing to two or three different sync servers for load balancing. You might have branch offices, and you might want users in a branch office to sync to the server in that office instead of everyone syncing to a centrally located headquarters server. In some organizations, file services is delegated to departments, and each department would then have its own file server on which they would want to enable work folders. And finally, you might have data governance requirements that force you to separate data physically onto different servers. So for any of these reasons, you can end up with multiple servers in the environment, which creates a challenge for us to solve. The first is, how do we find the right server? We want to continue to keep work folders set up really simple for the end user. We also want to give you a tool to use to migrate users across work folder servers. So here's a simple configuration. In the headquarters, we have two servers, Sync 1 and Sync 2. In a branch office, we have Sync 3. And you've already seen the basic infrastructure that's required. You saw in the first demo, Jane entered just an email address. And that's a hint to how we handle what we call order discovery. The client resolves the standard URL that we construct off of the email address. That standard URL, HTTPS, workfolders dot whatever the domain is that we strip off of the email address. DNS is going to resolve. In this case, I'm using round robin DNS, and I decided to only include sync 1 and sync 2. as initial servers for discovery. You can choose any or all of your work folder servers to handle discovery. It's not a separate role, it's just something the work folder server does. The client gets sync 1 from DNS, and it tries to connect to sync 1. If sync 1 is actually the server that the user should connect to, that server will know it, and it will know which of its sync shares the user has permissions to, and will have them connect to the appropriate sync share. If not, the server is going to retrieve a user property that has their sync URL. This user property in Active Directory is our only schema extension. And it's not a required schema extension for work folders. It's only required if you want to use auto discovery. The alternative to auto discovery in a multi-server environment is to hand out unique URLs to different groups of users for different servers. We do not require you to upgrade Active Directory to apply this schema extension. So it's as lightweight of a schema extension as you could hope for. And hopefully you'll be able to take advantage of it so you can use auto discovery in your environments. Sync 1 knew that Joe wasn't supposed to sync to that server. It looked up in Active Directory in Joe's user property, is sync URL sync 3. Returns sync 3's URL to the client, and Joe's client device is then going to sync with sync 3 in his branch office for as long as he has permissions to that sync share. If we ever change the permissions, we took Joe out of the branch of the sync 3 sync group, auto discovery would simply reinitiate. And on that next sync session, transparently and very quickly, Joe's device will simply start to sync with whatever device he needs to. So let's talk about migrations. Let's start from where you are today, probably with a home folders or folder redirection deployment. Our priority for these scenarios was to make sure that we had server-side interoperability for legacy devices. As Jane showed earlier, you can use an SMB share or even an NFS share to connect from a legacy device that doesn't have a work folders client to the same location that a work folder sync share points to. While this does work on a single device, we don't recommend deploying them at the same time on the same device. And the reason is it can generate a lot of user confusion. The user might see in a folder redirection environment, their My Documents folder has all of their data. And they also see a separate work folders directory that has all of their data. We know that those are pointed to the same location on the server. But the user might think that one is a redundant copy. If one's redundant, they might delete it to free up space. The deletion syncs to the server, and it'll delete it from the other location on the client. It's a really hard user education problem to overcome, so we don't recommend deploying them simultaneously on the same device. What we did this for is to ensure that your legacy devices or your devices you haven't migrated yet can continue to access the same data set without work folders. There was a subtle point in one of Jane's earlier demos about mapping the user directory structure. If you have a folder redirection deployment where it's using just the user alias, make sure to choose that same user alias. If your folder redirection deployment redirects documents and several other folders, let's say favorites is there, doesn't make sense to have a second copy of favorites in work folders. So choose the documents folder from folder redirection as what you want to sync, not the default of sync everything under the user directory. The other thing you might want to do is migrate from another server. Maybe you have a Windows Server 2008 file server deployed, and you want to set up a clean Windows Server 2012 R2 work folder server. If you're comfortable that all the data on the old server should be migrated for the user, you can do a server-side migration. Deploy work folders to the clients, and everybody accesses their data. But we think there's an interesting opportunity here for you. I know the first thing I do when I get a new device at work is in my documents create a directory called personal. So you often end up with commingled personal and work data. So if you're going to a new server, what you may want to do is temporarily leave both configured with an empty work folders directory on the server and tell the users to manually migrate, just move the files locally on their device that are work files from my documents to work folders. And then you can remove group policy for folder redirection. And what the user's left with is a local My Documents with their personal data and a work folders directory that syncs to your server with their work data. So one of the things we wanted to do with work folders is make it really easy for the user to know, I put it in My Documents, it's personal. I put it in My Work Folders, it's my work content that syncs across my devices. The final type of migration we alluded to in the previous discussion of migrations, of auto discovery, is moving from one work folder server to another. We made it really simple. All you do is update the AD user property with the new sync server URL. Nothing changes at that point. You're just preparing Active Directory for the change. You then, when you want to affect the migration, change which sync group the user is in. The user tries to sync to their old server because they saved that URL. And automatically, Auto Discovery will click in, consult Active Directory, they'll get the new sync server URL, sync continues, the user doesn't know anything changed. As our final demo, Jane's going to show us how you use the monitoring and reporting capabilities in the file server to help secure data in work folders.
Say work folders has been deployed in your environment for a while. How do you know how much load the server is running? How many users are actively syncing? How do you know what the storage utilization looks like on the server? So in this demo, I'd like to show you a few tips that you can use to monitor and use the reporting on the work folders that we provided. Come back to the server manager page with the work folders. You can see all the sync shares that we created. So here's the one for the finance department. Here's the one for the sales team. When you select the sync share, the user panel will show all the users that you've given access to the sync share. In this one, here's Jane, was able to sync to this share. If you right-click on the properties of this user, you can find all the information about this user in terms of sync, where is the data location on the server, what devices that she has been using to sync, what's the last access, was it successful, was it any errors? If you wanted to troubleshoot for a specific user, this is a good place to start. If you really like PowerShell, here's some good news. We have provided all the PowerShell that you need to configure, manage, sync servers on this, in this release. Simply running the get command, sync share module, here's a list of command lists that we provided. You can create, enable, disable, configure sync shares, along with the server settings. Take an example. Let's run get sync share. Here are the two sync shares that we're able to see from the server UI. One is for finance, one is for the sales, all the different properties. Here's also some properties that you can only configure in the commandlet, such as maximum file allowed upload size. We provide by 10 gig by default. Remember the UI we showed the user property? You can also get that same information here through the commandlet. So in early deployment, we actually had a feedback from our MSIT. He's asking, how do I know a user hasn't been syncing to the share for a long time, say 30 days, and maybe he can archive his data? And here we can see that in the commandlet, you can first get the user status of that specific user. In this case, John had a laptop synced in the past. And then you can pipe into finding the last successful or attempt to sync access was, say, 30 days old. I had here had 10 hours because I just prepared it yesterday. And then you can compare the devices that are synced and hasn't been syncing for the last 30 days, for example. And now you can decide maybe it's time to archive his data. Also on the sync server, we log every single successful event to the reporting channel on the server so that you can get a nice report. If you have system center reporting services, you can use this to generate a report about all different type of data. I don't have system center reporting services here installed on the server, so I'm going to use Cmdlet to export those events to a spreadsheet. Simply running get when events and the channel of where we log into the event reportings, and then pipe that, convert it into a spreadsheet, and pipe that to a file. Here I have a sample events. I'd like to show you to see what's the type of information we log in the report. So in this one, you can see the user has been syncing to the share, the timestamp where it's been last the sync happened, whether it's upload, download, the total number of files, and the size of the files. This is a rich set of data. You can generate different type of report. I'll show you a couple of examples. I plotted the type of files that get accessed to different servers. In this case, I can see file server 1 is much heavier loaded than the other ones. Maybe I'll consider move a few users to the other servers. Another example here I have showing the files has been syncing to the server over time. And here you can see the storage utilization of the file is on the server as well, planning for your next storage acquisition, hardware planning. Adam.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
So I want to leave you just with a set of key takeaways from the discussion today. Hopefully you've seen that work folders is incredibly easy to deploy on both the server side and the client side, simple to use as files just asynchronously sync and the user only has to think about the files on their local device, and really easy to manage with a powerful set of tools. It fully leverages your existing file server investment so that everything that you use to manage file servers today will continue to work. And you get to empower employees to work the way they want in accessing their individual work data while maintaining control of your organization's data. And perhaps most importantly, you will have insight into those documents that the user just wanted to keep on their local device because that was easier for them by giving them a tool to do so that makes sure you have a copy of the data on the file server. There's a set of related content, and you can all view these decks so you can look. There's one in particular I'll point out just because we spent some time talking about ADFS today. There's a follow-up detail session. Sam, one of the great program managers in Windows in Active Directory, and I will do a co-session Friday morning at 8:30. So for those of you who aren't out partying late Thursday night, you can join us there. There's also a couple of hands-on labs that I would encourage you to take a look at to get a little exposure to work folders while you're here, and of course, come see us in the booth. And the only other thing I wanted to hit is just make sure to fill out your surveys, if you will. We love the feedback. I haven't given away the second Xbox Live Gold card, so we'll say some questions, and I'll give one away for a really good question. So the question is, when are the Android and iOS apps going to be available? At this point, what we're saying is that shortly after the release of Windows 8.1, we will make available an iPad app. Android, smartphones, those are all later on our roadmap, and at this point, we're not committing to a time frame. But we recognize that you need those to embrace devices in your enterprise. Question is about Windows RT. Absolutely, at release. At release, we'll support Windows RT. when you're sizing a file server, does what happen? The staging area. Yeah, there's a calculation you can do for overhead, and we'll provide guidance on sizing. And there's a certain size that we max out the staging area. It's not big, because it's not used for long-term storage. Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, if I change an existing file, what do we synchronize across the wire? Unfortunately, in this release, we're going to synchronize the entire file again. But we know that's something we need to work on. Great question. You get an Xbox Live Gold. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Resilient file system. Not supported in this release. In this release, we took a dependency on a new capability that relies on NTFS to make sure we have really efficient change detection. So unfortunately, that meant in this release, resilient file system is not supported. Yeah, can you prevent a larger file from being downloaded? There's a max file size. I think we default it to 10 gig. Is that right? Yes, 10 gig. But you can change it.
Encryption on the device, is it EFS?
Encryption on the device, is it EFS? Great question. It is EFS, but it's a new implementation that's specifically designed for securing data associated with a particular enterprise. And these keys get automatically generated. Automatic encryption happens, and you have a single enterprise ID that governs any of the data that attaches to it on that device. So it could be the user's email, it could be work folders, and wiping that enterprise ID will wipe all of that data from the device. An API for third-party antivirus providers? Nothing specific. Are you an antivirus?
No.
No, okay. If you were, I'd want to talk to you. Yeah. Yeah. What we're taking advantage of in this release is very standard approaches to antivirus. There are some opportunities for further tighter integration with antivirus vendors, something we'll definitely explore. Yeah. So the question is, what about other shares? It could be a department or a team share. In this release, it's all about the individual user data, getting to team data. So that you can take an arbitrary share from a file server and use it in work folders is something, again, very prominent in our planning for the next release. Yeah, so the question is, why is Windows Phone out of scope? We're not, in the initial release, we're just not doing any phone form factors. So expect us to support Windows Phone. I certainly would expect it. So we will have an app for iPad specifically, not iPhone. Again, prioritizing the devices, the PCs and the tablet form factors. So whether it's a Windows PC or a tablet, whether it's the iOS tablets that we know are very, very prevalent, that was our focus in the first release. We don't, for additional clients, we don't have to wait for the next version of Windows. We have the ability to release clients, like I said, we'll have Windows 7 and iPad shortly after the general availability of this in Windows 8.1 and Windows Server 2012 R2. So I can't give you estimates on time. I can tell you we're very committed to it and that we understand that we have to support a wide variety of devices and operating systems to give you the solution you need. Thank you. Can we do something with bandwidth? There's nothing we do specific in this release to throttle our own bandwidth. We will respect metered connection settings in Windows, but beyond that, we're using the bandwidth that's available to us. In our testing, we have found that it's very efficient. It's something that is on the list of possibilities that we might do our own throttling in the next release.
There's no priority or whatever.
There's not a priority. We do have some back-off algorithms to make sure that we don't hammer a connection immediately when a machine comes out of sleep, for example, or at initial login. But there's not a specific algorithms beyond that about throttling bandwidth usage.
In a branch office scenario, how do you cope with having a centralized backup?
In a branch office scenario, how do you cope with having centralized backup? There is a solution for that. You can use DFS to bring the data in from the branch office to the central location, as long as you're bringing that in as a read-only form, and you can back it up in the headquarters. So you can do that. What we don't support in this release is you're using DFS and having changes on one server, replicating in, and trying to create sort of a mesh topology for sync. We have to have sync with work folders hitting an individual single server. Yeah, yeah, it's a good point. Don't back up the database centrally. You need to back up on the work folder server to have disaster recovery. Yeah, so the question is offline files and a work folders device. That interoperability works perfectly fine. No problem. We want to make sure that your existing devices that don't have work folders can continue to use offline files. That change to the server looks like an SMB change, and it's no problem having it synced to a different work folders client.
Because in our scenario, we have a lot of users that are traveling between the branch office and the corporate.
So right.
We need to have a topology measurement. So
right. And you want to, so you want to achieve something where work folders is actually syncing to the closest server,
exactly.
And that's not, we don't support that yet. In this release, you're always syncing to a particular server as a particular user. You can move them, but it's a move operation, and you may not know when they're traveling between branch office and headquarters. Yeah, so we have some investments to do to help you with that. It's certainly something we'd consider. It's something we've talked about as the kind of topologies that people like you will want to support. Yep. Yeah, you'd be able to use this instead of DFSR for that kind of data. Yeah. But again, not in this release. Yeah, it's a really great question. I wish I had another Xbox Live left. Sorry. The question is symbolic links and other special file types. And the answer for this release is we don't sync them. There's some risks in syncing those files and then having those files. We could end up in a situation where we actually lose data, and we wanted to make sure we never got into that situation. So we just stop sync when we see those. And we'll raise that error, and you have to remove the symbolic link. Shortcuts are fine. Link files, yeah, those just sync as normal files. There's no guarantee they work on the other device if they don't point to a local, you know, to a shared resource, if they're pointing to a local resource on the first device, but we'll sync a link file, yeah. Yep, they'll both work. Correct.
Did this say something about the proxy server?
What about the proxy server?
Say something about it. What is it?
What is it? So the proxy server is what you're using to expose any web application. It could be a website, it could be a SharePoint site, to the internet. You're simply publishing that site so that your connections are handled by the proxy server and then internally on your network from the proxy server to the actual device. What would we advise you use for proxy? There's a new capability coming in Windows Server 2012, R2, which is a application proxy. So there is an application proxy component, and there's some really interesting things that they do with single sign-on, which could be available to other proxies as well. But there's a real great story when you use all these components together out of the box, how they work. There are sessions on the new app proxy, and if they've already happened, you can just watch them online. It's tomorrow. Great. Do you know what time? No. Tomorrow sometime. Okay. So the first part of the question, I think, was do we do compression on the communications? I don't remember. Near, are we doing compression on the network communication? Not in this release. A lot of things for us to do for a future release. Keeps us busy. And the second part of your question I didn't get. Yeah. Do we have network, near? Do we have network traffic message analyzer support? Nothing special for work folders. Same for load balancing in what sense?
Destination on the sync server is have to go to that specific server. So the destination on
Good.
So what happens to security if I open an encrypted file and save it to a local folder which isn't watched?
Yeah, so the question is what happens to the encryption when you save it somewhere else? The encryption we do in the box for work folders will keep the file encrypted as long as the file stays on that device. If you move that file off device, we lose that local encryption capability. And that's where RMS comes in as a wrapper for any file. And it used to be it only supported specific file types, but they're adding a generic file wrapper, where those files can go off device and maintain their encryption and check in with the RMS server or the online RMS service to decrypt the file. So if you want that kind of, we call that data leak prevention. You don't want it leaking off the device. You need a solution that travels with the file.
And it's not able to specify a file to open with specific applications. That, for instance,
this is,
control it with profile or something else.
Yeah, I don't know the details of, I think you're asking about the generic file wrapper. And I don't know all the details. There were some sessions. Yeah. All right, so you need an RMS-aware app that can make the appropriate call. And there is a very big push to expand that ecosystem for RMS. And there were some sessions here on RMS, and some of these new capabilities were discussed there. Again, I don't know if that session happened yet or you can view it online. It was before. Okay, so Dan Plastina, Plastina. Okay. Another one? Yeah, moving the file on the same device will keep the encryption. There's a little catch, which is the user can decrypt the file. And in work folders, we will have a background task that would re-encrypt it. Once they move it out of work folders, then we're not going to re-encrypt it.
And if I did a selective wipe of that device,
yeah. If you did the selective wipe after the file was moved and the user decrypted it, the user would have access to it. If the user moved it but didn't decrypt it, they would lose access to it. Yeah, anything with sharing. Sharing is something we didn't tackle in this release at all. And again, we look to the SharePoint team as really the masters of collaboration. So if that kind of scenario is important with end-user file sync, I'd encourage you to look at SkyDrive Pro and either SharePoint or Office 365. Yep. Yeah, at present with our solution, then they're on the road and they want to share a file, they have it on their local device and they can email it to each other. That other person can then put it in their work folders, but they're not working on a synchronized copy. Office 365 will help you there. Yeah, we understand what's changing. Yeah.
If you have the scenario with the work folder and the RMS solution, which component makes the authentication or makes the check with the RMS? Is it the SIM server or is it device?
It's the end device. When you go
so then I have to publish the RMS.
But not. Oh, I thought the question was: is it the work folder server? I'm sorry. Right, it's not the work folder server that's checking. The file sits on the end user device, they go to open it, and an RMS aware app would check with the RMS server.
So
not through the work folder server.
I have to publish my RMS server in all cases if the scenario.
Anytime you want to use RMS, if you're deploying it on prem, you want it accessible outside the firewall, you have to publish that. You could use the RMS online service as well. Did I misspeak? Okay. Ten minutes by default.
Is that if the file changes on the file server?
The poll.
It won't get pushed to the client.
Correct, correct. So if the file is changed directly on the server never initiates sync. It's going to wait for the client to check in. So other clients will check in 10 minutes, within 10 minutes, to see if the server has any changes for it. They'll check in sooner if they have a local change to push up to the server, and you can tweak the polling interval. It's obviously a balance of performance and load on the server and freshness of the files on the devices. No push from the server. It is file-based, not block-level. That's correct. Definitely something that's important for us to try to get into a future release. Yes. Change one title on a slide and one presentation. SkyDrive. Yeah. 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 So there's SkyDrive also syncs in a hub and spoke architecture through their cloud service. And they have done some things to optimize bandwidth and what portion of a file they send. It's something that they've evolved over time, and it's something will evolve over time. There's a lot that's really common in what we need to accomplish from a high-level perspective, and then there's a lot of really different details as we get down to a lower level in terms of what they're trying to achieve for a consumer scenario and what we're trying to achieve long-term for file servers. Okay. Thank you all for your time. Great questions. I owe two gold memberships. I wish I had a third. I loved the symbolic link question.
A lot of questions.
So what I'm going to ask you guys to do, I'm going to turn this off. If you have a business card, on the back of it,